Greetings, Tacoma. John Doherty here for KTAH 101.9's Climate Talk, the place where we talk about everything climate and always respectfully. Today I'm going to be pondering the question, why is it that we aren't doing better as a species in dealing with climate change? In a nutshell, here's the situation. The climate is changing. We know why it's changing, and we know what to do about it if we want to stop that change, but we're not doing it. So how come? Let's start off by putting things in a bit of perspective. There's an organization called Pew Research. They're very highly respected, and they do polling. In August of this year, they published a list, 12 issues, that people who were polled were asked, how important is this issue to you? Of the 12 issues, climate change came in number 11. That is, next to the bottom in terms of importance in voters' minds. While it's true there was an ideological divide on whether people thought climate change was an important issue or not, even given that ideological divide, only 42% of voters thought that climate change was an important issue. And keep in mind that even those who thought it was an important issue had it ranked down below a lot of other things. So that's kind of us at home here. We all know about the Paris Climate Accords. There's 190-some countries that signed on to the Paris Climate Accords, and only a handful are meeting their stated goals in terms of reducing their emissions. And frankly, those goals aren't anywhere near aggressive enough to do the job. The goals specifically were to keep temperature increase below 2 degrees centigrade. We are almost certainly on the course we're on going to exceed that goal and probably exceed it by a good deal. And just keep in mind that there's not a linear relationship between greenhouse gases in the atmosphere and temperature increase. There are triggering events. Let's say, for instance, permafrost melting in the Arctic, releasing methane, which is a potent greenhouse gas, which increases the rate of warming of the Earth. So I'm asking today, how come this is that we know what the problem is, we know what the solution is, but we're not doing it? And beyond not doing it, I gotta say, really, probably not very worried about it. One of the things I've enjoyed about digging into climate change is getting to know some of the personalities who speak out on climate-related issues, and one of those is a guy named Dan Ariely. He's a behavioral economist. He's a professor at Duke University. He's an intriguing guy and just a lot of fun to listen to. You can check out some of his YouTubes. Anyway, one of the things Dan has said is that if you wanted to create a problem that human beings were particularly ill-suited to address, it would be climate change. Here are some of the things that Dan Ariely and others have pointed out about us as a species dealing with the problem of climate change. We're not good at noticing things that change slowly. The climate is warming slowly. It's only increased 1 degree centigrade since the start of the Industrial Revolution to now, although that pace is picking up, of course, but it is still very slow and we can't notice it from one year to the next. We have a hard time caring about things that don't affect us directly. I see a news report about some place in the Middle East or Africa or South America, and while I might be marginally interested, I'm a lot more interested in stuff that's happening close to home here. Another big problem is we don't think our individual efforts make a difference. We think that we're just a drop in the bucket, and does it make any difference what I do or don't do in terms of something like climate change? And related to that is something called the bystander effect, which essentially is that it's easy for us to think that there is a problem, yeah, but somebody better equipped to deal with that problem is going to take care of it. It's really not up to me, so I'm not going to do anything. We also have a hard time dealing with stuff that isn't affecting us right now. We're kind of present-oriented. Things that are going to affect us sometime in the future, not so important, and the further in the future they are, the less important they become. And then there's the fact that we have a hard time dealing with stuff that we can't see or otherwise perceive of with our senses. Stuff like methane gas and carbon dioxide going into the atmosphere. I think if we could see it coming out of the car tailpipes, it'd make a big difference to our attitude. We saw that with smog. We could see smog. We didn't like smog. We did something about it. And we're really not very good at preventing problems. We'd rather deal with messes, clean up the messes, rather than prevent the messes in the first place. It's interesting, when there is some kind of catastrophe like a tornado or a hurricane or a wildfire, folks are eager to go out and help, do their bit, but prior to the disaster, not quite so anxious to do their bit. So that's the psychological piece. And I kind of think that psychology, those points that I've brought up, are not so much specific to our culture. They're probably pretty much qualities of human beings in general. So how about our present economic system? I hear folks talking about we can't address climate change because our present economic system is not capable of addressing climate change. And I can see the logic of that point. Basically, especially in terms of things like fossil fuels, the process is to extract from the earth, refine, sell the product, make a profit, and okay, there's some pollution. But our approach to the pollution is pretty much, well, let other folks take care of it. And the net result of the pollution is illness, premature death, loss of value of property, so on and so forth. None of those costs borne by the people who did the pollution in the first place. That's a pretty out of whack way to go about things, but that's the way we do it. I see in myself and I see in others our desire to have more. So is all of this so irresistible that we can't help ourselves, that even though we're facing a problem like climate change, our desire for those things is so powerful we can't overcome them? Perhaps you know the story of the scorpion and the frog. Here it is in brief format. So a scorpion, of course they can't swim, asks a frog to carry it across a river on the frog's back. The frog's not sure about that, afraid the scorpion's going to sting him on the way across the river and kill him. And he brings that up to the scorpion, but the scorpion points out, hey, if I sting you and you die in the middle of the river, we're both going to drown, so why would I do that? So the frog's convinced by the argument. The scorpion jumps on his back. They head out across the river. About halfway across the river, scorpion stings the frog anyway, dooming them both to drown. So the frog is pretty stunned about this development and says, why on earth did you do that? Now we're both going to die. And the scorpion replies, well, I couldn't help it. It's my nature. So is it our nature to pursue wealth, to want to gather so much around us that we don't care about the consequences? Or is that common enough in our species that the folks who want to do that are the ones that evolve into positions of power and influence? I'll leave the answer to that question up to you. I'm not really quite sure myself, but it kind of seems like it might be the case. As individuals, it's hard for us to give attention to things other than the pressing things in our life, like what to fix for dinner, or maybe there's an important relationship that we're concerned about, or just earning an income. Perhaps we have children we've got to take care of. All of these things are pressing in the moment. And for sure, they're important issues that require our attention. Something like climate change is also an important issue, but it's not pressing, and we have a hard time dealing with things that are not pressing. So let's just take a look at our own to-do lists day by day. Take a look at what's on that list. Is there anything about climate change on that list? So day by day goes by and nothing gets done and never gets to the top of our priority list because there's plenty of other pressing things that show up moment by moment. And the whole money thing. I had some friends recently, a group of guys that I hang out with. One of them was talking about having to install a new hot water heater, and there was about 15 minutes of discussion about the pros and cons of this kind, that kind, et cetera, et cetera. And all of that conversation was focused on the cost of the hot water heater, installing it and operating it over time. These were a pretty thoughtful bunch of guys. They recognized the issue of climate change and greenhouse gas emissions. Yet in that entire conversation, there wasn't one word said about, okay, what's the climatic environmental impact going to be of the hot water heater that's installed? And one of the things I've noticed in myself and in others, to be sure, is that sometimes it takes a painful experience for us to significantly change our worldview or our approach to life. I'm talking about things like divorce or the death of a loved one or a serious injury or a loss of a job, things like that that pretty much force us to take a look at the situation, reevaluate, and possibly come out the other side with a revised and hopefully more mature worldview. So I asked myself, is that what it's going to take for us as a species in terms of climate change? Are we going to have to deal with a lot of suffering before we realize that the path we're on is not going to work over time? I hope that's not the case, but seems like it might be. It seems like we might have to deal with some of the catastrophes before we start taking a look at changing our behavior. So there is something coming up here. We're pretty much all aware of it, and it is something that we can do. It doesn't require much effort and is so incredibly important, and that is to vote in the coming election. And I would add to that the importance of influencing friends and family members so that they also vote. And while the presidential and other election races at the top of the ticket gather the most interest, those other positions on down the ballot are so critically important too. And I encourage you to dig in, find out who's going to be a good steward for the environment and who's not. And keep in mind, it doesn't matter how many good ideas there are out there until those ideas start becoming policy through laws and regulation, they don't have a whole lot of impact. It can be difficult to sort out some of the lesser known races. I'll offer to you a website called Fuse Washington. Do a Google, you can find it. And that website will give you some good guidance on who's working towards a sustainable future. So once again, I'm asking the question, are we as a species capable of dealing with this problem? And there's plenty to be gloomy about for sure. I don't particularly like being gloomy, and I don't imagine you do either. So I think that the problem, the way I've stated it, once again, as the Earth is warming, we know what's causing it, and we know how to cure that problem. I think there's good news in that also, because we can solve the problem. It's not like an earthquake that we can't do anything to prevent, or an asteroid coming our way. We can do something about climate change. So that's good news. And I would say it's up to each of us to create that good news. That good news is not going to happen without our effort, without our determination. So let's just do a little optimistic mind experience here. I'm talking about, let's say we're reading Nature magazine and we come across this item. It says, for the second year in a row, we have seen an overall decline in atmospheric CO2, and that a trend appears to be accelerating. Well, that would be a great thing to read, and it's definitely something that's possible to happen. Once again, it's just up to us. And keep in mind the old 3.5% rule. This is something that Erica Chenoweth, a research scientist from Harvard, demonstrated with her studies back in the early part of this century, that it doesn't take a whole bunch of people to change the direction of a political system. She said about 3.5%. So let's be part of the 3.5% in terms of changing the direction we're headed in terms of climate here. If we can do that, then there is going to be good news, and that is the optimistic piece. So what do you think? I'd love to hear from you. Email me at john@cctacoma.org. I am a Citizens Climate Lobby activist. Love to hear from you. And you can also check out cctacoma.org for notes on this and other programs. That's it for today. Once again, John Doherty reminding you to always live like the mountain is out. Take care.